Yo, this is Super Podcast. I'm Super Marcy, and today we are discussing the upcoming Academy Awards and possibly how shit they can be.
Or how awesome, depending on.
It depends. We're going to go through what we think is going to win or lose, or what we think is going to win. Does that make any sense? I don't know. And I'm just adding back a guest to the call, but I guess I'll introduce everybody. With me is Sam, who just dropped out of the call.
Oh, what the fuck?
Hello.
But I'm not introducing Sam just yet. I'm introducing Bede. Bede? Hello, Bede. He's the co-host.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hi. Apparently Sam keeps dropping out, so we're just going to keep adding him into the call.
Yep.
Screw re-recording this shit.
Hello?
Hello. Oh,
yes, hi.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. Fucking yes. Finally.
Yes. I was actually introducing everyone, so you have to wait your turn.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Bede, hello.
Hi again.
This is the best intro of all time. I'm pretty hot, because the weather's hot.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure
temperature
that's what
hot.
I'm pretty hot too.
I mean, I am hot, but, you know.
I'm pretty hot too, and not because of the weather. But
Oh, snap. Tippy. Jokes aside, because that makes you really terrible, but what makes you even more terrible this week?
Okay. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen something that is far worse than the backup plan. And do you want to know what that movie is, Marcy?
I sure do, Bede.
Furry Vengeance.
I'm pretty sure. Was it AJ that mentioned how shit that was?
Yeah, but this one was even worse than the backup plan.
Wow.
It is, like, the biggest abomination I have ever seen. Well, up there is one of the biggest abominations I've ever seen. There is nothing remotely good about this movie.
Wow.
I could say that the best part of the movie was the credits, but I can't even say that because over the end of the credits, they have, like, the worst cover of, like, Insane in the Brain by Cypress Hill.
Insane in the Brain!
But the thing is, like, all the cast members, like, do dances and choreograph dancing and shit like that over the course of the song, and it's terrible. I wanted to blow my brains out after watching that.
Wow. Amazing.
It's evil.
Wow. Okay. After that, let's introduce our special guests. As you know, we've got Sam from 24 frames per second and Multimedia Mouth, who apparently had Skype problems. Hello.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Bede.
Hi, Sam.
Hey. Oh, hi, Bede.
I
can't do that yet because I haven't seen The Room, so I don't really have the reference point for it.
You call it The Room.
You gotta do, like, you gotta watch the movie and you'll know, like, exactly how we felt after watching that movie. And hopefully you'll be able to do, like, Tommy Wiseau's amazing voice because, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, I can't really do impressions, unfortunately.
And our other guest is the one and only, the amazing and talented Mr. Pat. He's got no last name. I'm just calling him Mr. Pat.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, Bede.
Oh, hi, Pat.
You're tearing me apart.
Pat, you sound like an Australian again.
Let's go eat, huh?
How's your sex life, Pat?
Oh, God. That's one line we don't need to hear from The Rom.
I'm just going to say that to all our guests from now on.
How's your sex life, huh?
Just say that. Make it really uncomfortable for the rest of the show.
So anyway, how is your sex life, huh? No, really, how is your sex life? No, I'm just kidding.
But, dish.
I mean, having it with your hand doesn't count. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Okay, this is starting to get very uncomfortable now.
Bad jokes aside.
The film has started very, very early this time.
Yeah, sorry. Bad jokes aside, shall we get to the Oscars?
Of course.
Talking of bad jokes.
All right, so let's...
okay.
Yes. let's go to the awards. Bede, do you want to give us a category to start us off with?
Well, I suppose we could get like one category out of the way, which I wanted to talk about briefly because I've actually seen only two of the movies that have been nominated, and that's best documentary feature.
That's two more than I've seen.
Yeah, well, somebody has to talk about this.
All right.
But, well, should I say who's nominated? Or
yeah, read it out for us.
Oh, well, who's up for the awards are Exit Through the Gift Shop, Gasland, Inside Job, Restrepo, and Wasteland. Which, the only two of that category I have actually had seen are Exit Through the Gift Shop and Restrepo.
Mm-hmm.
And Restrepo is like, is this really intense sort of documentary that follows a group of soldiers on the station that, like, this in this base in Afghanistan, and it's in a valley that is like that has been called like the most dangerous place on earth. And pretty much every day they get fired upon by enemy soldiers and all that. And it actually is quite similar to what to another film Sam mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, Armadillo. And it kind of is kind of similar to that. Well, based on...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I haven't got around to seeing Restrepo yet, because I want a bit more distance from Armadillo before I do.
Mm. Well, I think it's sort of funny that both these movies sort of came out at the same time, because they... I honestly thought Armadillo was Restrepo, because when I read the premises for both films, they sounded exactly the same. So it's hard for me to say, because I haven't seen Armadillo yet, but I probably will at some point. So I can't really say which one's the best one, but it's a really good documentary that everyone should check out. And Exit Through the Gift Shop, I like the movie, but I didn't think it was as amazing as everyone else made it out to be. But like it's still a really interesting and fascinating documentary that it's definitely worth a look. And some people sort of said that Exit Through the Gift Shop might win because, you know, out of all the ones that are nominated, it's the most well-known and it's been the most successful.
That doesn't automatically mean something's going to win.
Well, not necessarily, because there have been sort of big successful documentaries in the past that have been nominated but didn't win. But I think, to be honest, I think which film I think is going to win is Inside Job, which is sort of like a very political documentary. And which I haven't seen, but I've heard a lot of great things about. So I honestly think that might be the front runner to win. Well, I think overall, I think of the ones who I think is going to win, I think it's going to be Inside Job, because I've heard a lot of great things about it. And recently, I think it was at the Directors Guild Awards, it actually won Best Director for Documentary. So that sort of kind of gives it sort of the edge out of all the other ones. But if it doesn't win, probably Exit Through the Gift Shop. But I think putting my money on, I'd probably put it all on Inside Job. And that's all I'm going to say.
That's ironic.
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 Don't you think?
Really?
I really do think.
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't actually seen any of these documentaries yet, though I've been meaning to see certainly Restrepo and probably Exit Through the Gift Shop as well. But two of my friends saw Wasteland at the London Film Festival, and it was a particular favourite of both of them. And both of them said that they cried and that they thought it was a beautiful, beautiful film. I couldn't be less interested, to be honest, when I read the summary of it, but they've both been on at me about seeing it, so I'll probably have to go when it comes out here, I think this month. So I don't think it's in with a shout for the Oscar, but my friends Mike and Owen will be pleased to see it up there.
I haven't seen any of them. I don't know all that much about them. I don't know if I can pick who's going to win. I might just say maybe Fresh Drepo for its subject matter, but otherwise I don't know.
Yeah, I can't really say this. I have to say the same thing as you, Mark. I haven't seen any of them. Although I have to say, Through the Gift Shop sounds a little more interesting. Although Inside Job would be kind of like the Michael Moore sort of style of things. I don't know.
Should we move on to the next category?
Yes.
Bede, do you want to pick another one?
Okay, how about the sound categories?
Okay.
Where's my list? I've lost my list. Okay, here it is. We got on the sound, we'll go to our sound mixing first. We got Inception, The King's Speech, Salt, The Social Network, and True Grit.
I'm just going to say Inception, that's it.
Inception, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Inception's likely to win both of them, but I've got to say, I don't know what any of this means. So, you know, I'm sure or it's a very difficult, very technical job, but I don't know what these people do, really. So I can't really tell you what I want to win. I have no real investment in it. It always seems to me that the loudest film wins.
Basically, the way that Wikipedia says it is like it's an Academy Award that recognizes the finest or most euphonic sound mixing or recording, and is generally awarded to the production sound mixers and re-recording mixers of the winning film. So
loudest film wins.
Well, I'm gonna pick Inception for sound mixing, and with sound editing, the nominees of course are Inception, Toy Story 3, Tron Legacy, True Grit, and Unstoppable. And I'm just gonna go Inception again for both.
Well, just because Tron Legacy is there, I'm just gonna say Tron Legacy, just for the fuck of it. So, yeah. But I think it'll go to Inception.
Since I don't think Inception's going to win anything big, I think it'll probably get some recognition here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Do you want to pick one, Marcy?
I said Tron Legacy. Oh, did you mean a category? Let's just say visual effects. The visual effects are Alice in Wonderland, why I don't know, Harry Potter and the Awesome Movie, Hereafter, Inception, and Iron Man 2. I'm just going to say Harry Potter for what I want, just because it's Harry Potter, and I'm thinking maybe Inception will win that as well.
I think both I think and who I want to win, I'm going with Inception.
Pat,
God, I don't care who wins, but Inception's going to.
Pat?
I would say Inception.
Okay.
Although, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, there's nothing really mind-blowing about this set of nominees this year, because, I mean, it's like, compared to, like, years previous, but, I mean, Inception, obviously, for the fact that it's just, you know, Inception.
Okay. Sounds good.
Of course.
What the hell is Alice in Wonderland doing there when Tron Legacy isn't nominated?
Well,
I didn't love Tron Legacy, but the fact that it's not in the best visual effects category is ridiculous.
It's kind of stupid. And I mean, Scott Pilgrim, honestly, I think that should be there as well.
I can give you the main reason why I think Tron Legacy was snubbed for visual effects. Jeff Bridges.
I didn't think it was bad. And my opinion is the only one that matters.
Quite there.
It was a bit off-putting.
All I have to say is you need to see it in... If you want to appreciate it, it's IMAX 3D.
I have to admit, Marcy, I think like what Robert Zemeckis does in his motion capture movies was a bit more convincing than Clue in Tron Legacy.
I didn't have a problem with it, but what I'm saying is...
Because...
Sorry. Let me say this, because I'm going to get frustrated if I don't. On the regular screen, it didn't look as good, but there's something about the way the clarity on the IMAX screen that we have, it looked perfect. You couldn't really tell that it was, you know, it wasn't him 20 years ago. Anyway, I'll let Sam go.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with the point about the Robert Zemeckis stuff, because I find those avatars incredibly disturbing, actually. I think they're really freaky and just wrong. And I absolutely hated watching Christmas Carol, because it just made my skin crawl. Because they're these not quite human figures with these completely dead, soulless eyes. And it looks like these things that are coming to possess you rather than characters telling you a story. I hate it. So, yeah, I disagree on that one.
We have to get into the discussion of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
I don't know. I to be honest, like, even though, like, the Robert Zemeckis ones, even though, like, they're not great most of the time, but they weren't as off-putting as what, like, how young Jeff Bridges looked in Tron Legacy. Not to say, like, it was entirely bad, but it was, like, it was just, yeah, that's probably the word I just could describe, is that it was a bit off-putting. Like, it was just, like, the worst case of de-aging I've ever seen in a movie.
X-Men 3 was worse.
No, that was more convincing.
No, it wasn't.
Tron Legacy.
It looked like they ironed Patrick Stewart in that movie. Exactly. That was,
it looked way worse. But anyway, moving right along, I'm going to skip the original songs because I don't give a shit. I haven't heard of any of these songs, really.
I'm going with just Toy Story 3, only because it's Randy Newman.
Yeah, well, I've been put off Randy Newman ever since Family Guy
ended him up.
So, yeah, I just picture Family Guy now.
Well, the problem with this category
is his kids and dogs.
Well, the problem is with this category, like, all the good songs weren't even nominated. And it's just, like, these ones. Like, I've listened to, like, three of them. Like, I see the Light, which is from Tangled. That was, like, a pretty solid song. And If I Rise from 127 Hours. I guess if you went for originality, that one is definitely the most original of the bunch. But I think, for my money, I definitely would go with Randy Newman with that song, We Belong Together, from Toy Story 3. Because it's Randy Newman.
Okay. Does anyone else have any opinions on songs? Okay. I take that as a no.
Oh, really?
Let's go to Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Score. The nominees would be 127 Hours, A.R. Rahman, How to Train Your Dragon, John Powell, Inception, Hans Zimmer, The King's Speech, Alexandre Desplat.
Alexander Desplat.
Thank you. I've, like, butchered someone's name. And The Social Network, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. First, I want to say, where the fuck is Daft Punk? That's just wrong on every single level.
Yeah, I mean,
because
that's
the best.
That's an absolute fucking scandal.
It was the best original score of 2010, hands down. And it's criminal to not be there.
I mean, I knew it wasn't going to win, but I expected them to have the fucking taste to at least nominate it.
But again, it's something that just doesn't fit the Academy.
Or maybe they just didn't like Tron Legacy.
Well, maybe they can suck my ass. Or something just as vulgar. But yeah, I guess if I have to pick who I want to win, I don't know. I kind of liked the 127 Hours stuff and Inception. I would say maybe one of those, but I have a very strange feeling that The Social Network will win it.
That's interesting, because I want The Social Network to win by a country mile. Inception pretty much to me sounded like the movie was farting most of the time. Yeah, don't get it. It's 127 hours. I found very sort of strident. I don't even remember the music in How to Train Your Dragon, but the Social Network, it just sounded great all the way through. The mix of piano and electronics really worked nicely, and I'd love to see it win, but I think Inception's going to take it.
I think all the scores are great. Like, each one is completely different from the last, and every single one is unique in its own way. I mean, I did love the score to How to Train Your Dragon, because that was such a real epic score. But if I had to pick who I think will win, I'd go with The Social Network. And who I would like to win, Inception, because, you know, that score, it's like I hum that score all the time, and it pretty much, I just love that score.
Do you just go around going, burr.
Of course.
wait for it.
Of course!
Yay.
Damn straight.
Yep.
but I think it's going to be The Social Network, and it'll be hilarious that the same guy who once wrote a lyric called "I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal" might win an Oscar. That'd be hilarious to
indeed.
See.
Pat?
Eminem has an Oscar.
Yeah,
well,
that is true.
That's true.
Pat, what are your thoughts on the category?
He stole my joke.
Ah, well, bitch slap.
Ow.
Basically, what we're going to say is pretty much the same thing as Deed. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Reznor, you know, the only guy who could say, like, sing a fist talk and then win a Grammy, and now we're going to win a Golden Globe and possibly win an Academy Award. So, you know, yeah.
Okay. Babe, do you want to do the next category?
Alrighty, the next category, Best Makeup, with Barney's Version, The Way Back, and The Wolfman. I've only seen one of the movies, and that's The Wolfman, and it's Rick Baker, so he automatically is going to win. So I'll go with him.
I just want to say, I hate Sam for having seen The Way Back.
Me too.
I don't even know what Barney's Version is.
I'm seeing it tomorrow, actually.
It's
Paul Giamatti. It'll be the aging makeup that he and Rosamund Pike have, because he's playing this man over 40 years. And from the trailer, the makeup is okay. It's not massively convincing, though. Yeah, it beats right. The Wolfman's going to win, and it should.
Yeah, I think I'm just picking that. Can't argue with Rick Baker.
No, indeed.
Pat, over there?
Yeah, I have to say Rick Baker.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, not only... And the thing is, it really, you know, ticks me off is that Wolfman was nominated for Best Makeup, but not Best... visual effects for some reason or whatever, because I mean, the effect, and I know that I've mentioned this before, with the some sequences in the film were kind of like, you know, look totally CG or whatever, but I mean, just the whole transformation sequence between Benicio del Toro to the Wolfman, a lot of it was, you know, actually pretty good, but even still, I mean, yeah, Rick Baker's going to win.
Okay. Bede, do you want to give us another category?
Okay. Best costume design, which the nominees are Alice in Wonderland, I Am Love, The King's Speech, The Tempest, and True Grit. This is actually a hard one, to be honest.
I'm going to say... I really liked the costumes in True Grit, especially the eye patch on Jeff Bridges, because that was awesome. but I liked that whole Western-ish feel. And I haven't seen some of the other movies, so I'm not really quite sure what their costumes were like. I'm going to say that would be what I'd want, but I kind of think maybe Alice in Wonderland is... because of it's that movie, or The King's Speech, because it's you know, a period piece in a way.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be the King's Speech, because they like period movies anyway in this category, and also because I think the King's Speech is going to win a lot. So, yeah, I think that one's pretty much sewn up. Personally, I've seen three of them. I'd probably go with I Am Love. Yeah, it's all modern dress, but it's very stylish and cool looking and stuff. But okay. I mean, I don't. It's not something I think about. To me, best costumes really is costumes I don't think about.
Okay.
Because they feel right for the characters, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you other two have any comments about costume design?
I'll let Pat first. Sorry. Pat go first.
I think it's probably going to be between Alice in Wonderland and True Grit. Pretty much the same reasons as you mentioned, Marcy. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's really, for me personally, down to three movies, and that is Alice in Wonderland, The King's Speech, and True Grit. If I say which one had the better costumes, I would probably pick Alice in Wonderland, because only for the fact because there's costumes in that one are much more extravagant than the other ones in the category. But I think who I think will win, like if the King's Speech, I mean, the King's Speech does a bit of a sweep.
The King's
Yes. If the King's Speech does indeed do like a bit of a sweep in, like in some of the categories, I would say the King's Speech will win. But what I think should win would be sort of a tie between Alice in Wonderland and True Grit.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised if one of these two actually takes it over from the King's Speech.
Okay. Let's go to art direction, where we've got Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter, Inception, The King's Speech, and True Grit.
Hmm.
I'm just going to say True Grit and True Grit for one and what I think. I just have a feeling True Grit's going to get some of that going on.
I might go again with The King's Speech, because True Grit, like, could win, but at the same time, like, most of the film is set outside, so we don't really get a sense of, like, you know, like, the buildings in the film. But even though when we, hold a sec. Even though when we do see the sets, they're terrific, but we'll spend more of our time with the characters on their journey across the desert. So we don't really see many sets after that. And Alice in Wonderland, you know, it's Tim Burton, and he's like won this category, like many of his films have won this category dozens of times before, you know, like with Batman and Sweeney Todd and a couple of others. So it's definitely between, again, these three. But I think I might go with, just to be on the safe side, I will go with The King's Speech. But who I think should win will be, again, True Grit or Alice in Wonderland.
Pat?
Basically, Beads kind of stolen my thunder and basically said what I was going to say. Although, I'm kind of leaning a bit more towards Inception. But, you know, you never know.
Actually, I don't really have much to say on it, to be honest.
Okay, do you want to move on?
It's just kind of,
Okay.
You know.
Alright, so our next one is Best Achievement in Editing. So you got 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, The King's Speech, and The Social Network. Seeing as, I don't know, Bede keeps stealing Pat's whatever he's got to say, I'm just going to ask Pat what he thinks about editing.
I can't really say.
Is it a secret?
Just say, The Social Network All right, I'll go. I kind of want to say I like the fighter, just because I thought that was really well done. But I kind of think it maybe it's going to go to The Social Network, which is also really good. It was really great. So it was 127 hours. I honestly didn't really notice the editing in Black Swan or The King's Speech all that much. So, yeah. But
and again, for me, actually, that's kind of what's defining in a lot of ways.
Hey? Say that again.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what defines good editing in a lot of ways, because editing's about putting shots together in a way that flows, not in a way that's kind of really showy and up in your face. It's about putting it together a story so that it's told as, you know, sort of a flowing story rather than, you know, pounding something into you, or at least for me it is. And I think, for me, I think Black Swan should win of the nominees, but actually what should win isn't nominated, and that's Inception.
Damn straight.
I mean, I didn't like Inception very much, but to deny Lee Smith an Oscar for the third act of that film, in which he keeps intelligible storytelling over four levels of reality that he intercuts, I mean, that's just stupid. That's blinkered, and it's a ridiculous thing to do, to deny him even an Oscar nomination for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the Academy for you.
Yes, it is.
I think it's going to be... I'm going to go with The Social Network, because, like, if The King's Speech does win more awards... you know, wins a couple of more awards than it should have, but I think The Social Network might definitely win in this one. And there has been, like, things in the past, like the film that wins Best Editing usually goes on to win Best Picture. And also The Social Network has, like, scenes where it goes back and forth between, like, the past, mm-hmm. but also these two separate trials that Mark Zuckerberg is attending. So that could give it a bit of an advantage there. But, you know, again, like a backup one, just in case if it doesn't win, probably Black Swan. Because, like Sam said, the editing in that was so seamless that you didn't even notice that. Like, you never even noticed the editing at all.
Mm.
But I think both my want and should win, I'm going to go with The Social Network.
All right. Bede, do you want to give us a category?
Yep. Best Cinematography. And, of course, the nominees are Black Swan, by Matthew Liebeckett, Wally Pfister for Inception, Danny Cohen for The King's Speech, Jeff Kenoweth for The Social Network, and Roger Deakins for True Grit.
I'm glad you could pronounce those names, which is why I picked you to do this category. I'm just going to say, I mean, it's hard. I kind of want to say Inception, but I don't know. I just don't think it's going to win. But I don't know what I really think will win this one. I might just go out on a limb and say perhaps Black Swan. But I kind of would like to go for Inception. Pat?
Yeah, I have to say I'm leaning towards Inception as well. Just for the fact that it was just obviously so mind-blowing with the obvious hotel fight scene and everything. Of course, there's more to it than that. Of course, you got the whole the storm in the winter, the winter base scene, everything like that. And, but I mean, it's kind of it's up in the air. I mean, you've got obviously, you get four other great films in there as well. You know, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of it's a tough one. Like you said, this is our category. But, I'll say Inception, but I wouldn't be surprised if another film won.
Okay, Sam.
Yeah, I think Black Swan's going to win, and I think it should, of the nominees. It's easily, though I haven't seen Trigger It yet, to be fair, easily of the four that I've seen, the best looking. It's ravishing to look at, and again, even though I didn't actually like the film. But my winner, again, isn't nominated, and that's Meek's Cut Off, which is just stunning to look at. And as far as I can tell, all shot with natural
light. I'm really waiting to see that movie.
Just, you know, again, they just ignore them. You know, what are you going to do?
Has it actually been released in the US yet, though? Because I don't recall if it hasn't.
I'm certain it has, yeah. I thought maybe it's this year, and maybe it's only been reviewed off festival plays. So, I mean, that would be nice.
Possible. I mean, it could be something they... I don't know.
But I have a feeling it's been released, yeah.
I don't know, I might have to check that out, but... Yeah. I do know it's been doing the festival circuit, but I don't know if it's actually had an official release date yet anywhere,
well,
but...
Well, in that case, I will eat those words. but, yeah, I mean, Black Swan, I think, is going to win. It's the right choice of the five, even if it's not the right choice of the year.
I'm just going to say True Grit. And I am going to tell you guys why it's going to win. Roger Deakins. This is his ninth nomination in a row, and he has not won previously. And, like, you only have to look at the films that he has been nominated for, and I'll just read. Like, before True Grit, these were the films that... hurry up, IMDb. You're slowing everything down for me. I know, but previously he's been nominated for The Shawshank Redemption, Fargo, Kundun, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, The Man Who Wasn't There, No Country for Old Men, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, and The Reader. And, like, for a couple
Jesse
of those
James
movies, he should have already won. But I think he'll win for True Grit, even though I think there was a lot better looking films that came out last year, like, especially the ones in the category. I think he's going to win as both, the cinematography in True Grit was great, really great. But I think it's going to be, like, one where it's, like, an overdue Oscar for him because he's been nominated so many times and he's never actually won. So I think he's the one who I think will win. Who should win? I'd love to see Inception win cinematography because Wally Pfister seems like he's on the track to become the next Roger Deakins because this is, like, his fourth nomination in a row. And he hasn't won previously, and he should have won for The Dark Knight, but, you know, that's a completely different story altogether. But what I'm actually really happy about is nominated is actually The Social Network, because when I saw that film the first time, one of the things I was really taken back by that movie was the cinematography, and I thought it was absolutely gorgeous, especially in the opening scene where, like, Mark Zuckerberg is, like, just walking around through Harvard. Like, it was so beautifully done. And so that I'm happy that's nominated, even though it's not going to win. But I think, will win, True Grit, and who I'd like to, but who should win, Inception, and maybe as a runner-up, Black Swan.
All right. Does anybody want to read the best foreign language films? Because I'm not tackling that.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Sam nominated himself, so off you go, Sam.
Hang on, I've just got to find them first. Here we go. Beautiful from Mexico. Dogtooth from Greece. In a Better World from Denmark. Incendies, I think, from Canada, though Pat will probably correct me on that. And Outside... Incendies. Okay. Thank you. And Outside the Law, or Ola Loa, from Algeria.
I was hoping that you would give the names, you know.
I do apologise for that, but that's all I've got.
I didn't want to pronounce the actual names.
I do know Dogtooth is Kinodontas in Greek, but I only know that because I love that movie.
I've only seen Dogtooth out of those, and it absolutely just knocked me over when I saw that it actually had a nomination, that something like this would actually be recognized by the Academy. So I kind of got to say that that's what I want to win, but I think Beautiful, that has Javier Bardem in it, I think that's kind of going to win because he's got his Best Actor nomination for it.
Yeah, though, I've got as much, every review says the film's not great, but Javier Bardem is. Mm. And so, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that it's probably going to be In a Better World, Suzanne Bier's new film, which I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I'm going to see it bird's eye view.
Cool.
But obviously I want Dogtooth to win, because Dogtooth is a fucking masterpiece and easily the best film of 2010.
Yeah, now that Dogtooth has really settled in, I can really just, you know, call it a masterpiece that I know that it is. I don't know if I can see it again anytime soon, but it's just an unbelievable film. And I can't believe how much of an effect this film has had on me since I've seen it.
I'm amazed they had the guts to nominate it. They'll never have the guts to make it, to have it be the winner.
I mean, this is a movie that deals with all sorts of very taboo things. And it's very strange. And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that it does have some actual sex in it that's not simulated.
Yeah, I think that one scene, yeah.
Mm. Do you other guys have any commentees?
I'll let Pat go first.
Pat's going to say, I don't know.
It's like, I have to do my patriotic duty and say, incendies. All sendies. I can't pronounce French swamping, but whatever. As the winner, but I mean, it's like realistically, it's probably going to be Dogtooth. And that's really,
you really
all I
think so?
Say.
I can't imagine it.
So yeah,
Dave?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and actually will say Dogtooth. I'm pretty certain they will. Because actually, the last 2 years, when it's come to Best Foreign Film, I have actually predicted the winner right. Like, back in 2008, I actually predicted Departures would beat out, like, the two favourites from that year, The Class and Waltz with Bashir. And, of course, like, if you listen to the last Oscar podcast, I actually predicted The Secret in Their Eyes would beat out both The White Ribbon and... I can't remember what the other film... Yeah, Prophet. I actually predicted that one would win. So I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say Dogtooth will win, because like at the moment it seems like Beautiful and In a Better World seem like the two front runners, or seemingly front runners.
Mm-hmm.
But I think usually there's always surprises in this category, so I think if there was going to be like a surprise victor, I reckon it might be Dogtooth. But if it doesn't win, I might, you know, again play safe and just say In a Better World. But at the moment I think who I think will win and should win will be Dogtooth. Because it's, like, really messed up and, you know...
if that does actually win, I think the world will hear me scream in disbelief and just excitement and everything, because that'll be amazing.
Make up for the rest of the ceremony.
I will do something crazy if it does win. Yeah. If I'm right, I mean.
So far, I'm planning on having... A Skype chat while they're on. So if anybody who has my Skype wants to join, they may do so. So there's that. Best animated feature film of the year. How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, Toy Story 3. I think we know Toy Story 3 is going to win, and it's the one we want to win. So do we need to discuss that? Like, really?
I mean, yes, I want to see Toy Story 3 win, because, I mean, clearly it deserves to. But in a way, I don't want to see Toy Story 3 win, because I'd rather see them vote it for Best Picture. And I don't think it can possibly win both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with the animated feature category, because however deserving an animated film is, if it gets nominated for Best Picture, they'll always go, nah, we can give it animated feature. And they'll never see them on the same level. They'll never see them as just films while there's an animated feature category.
Mm-hmm. Next
category, I think they should just rename the entire award just the Pixar Award. I'm actually happy that Cars 2 is coming out next year because they can finally give the Best Animated Feature Award to someone else other than a Pixar movie. Yeah.
Shrek won the first year.
And also Spirited Away and Wallace and Gromit. But like the last 4 years in a row have been a Pixar movie, so, you know, time to spread the wealth around a little bit, man. And I think if they do that next year, I think Toy Story 3 would be a good one to end out on, like for the last one for Pixar for a while.
Next category.
Okay, I'll say this one. Best adapted screenplay, or if you want to be technical about it, best writing screenplay on material previously produced or published. Danny Boyle and Simon Belfoy for 127 Hours. Aaron Sorkin for The Social Network. Michael Arndt, John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton, and Lee Ungerich for Toy Story 3. Joel Coen and Ethan Coen for True Grit. And Deborah Granick and Anne Rossellini for Winter's Bone.
The Social Network, Aaron Sorkin. That's all you need to know, because that's going to win. There is no
question. Yeah, he's going to win, and there's no question that he deserves to win.
Mm-hmm. It's the most deserving one, and it will win.
But then again, we all thought that Up in the Air was going to win last year. I'm just saying. But, you know, I'm going to say The Social Network for both my want and who I think should win. But if there was a surprise victor, even though it's never going to happen, but you can never be too sure about these things, I'm going to say True Grit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd love it to be Toy Story 3. Again, Toy Story 3 would be my second choice. Of those screenplays, because I just think it's so wonderfully written as well. But I can't see anyone but Sorkin winning.
Well, I mean, it seems that Toy Story 3 is kind of a I'm kind of a bit perplexed why Toy Story 3 is in there, because, you know, I know why it's there, but it seems kind of like seems kind of lame that it's in there based off of characters from the previous film. It just seems sort of lame in that respect. But whatever, it's probably good. The Social Network.
Okay, the next one is best writing screenplay written directly for the screen. Bede, can you read this?
Okay.
I don't know why I started reading them. I'm like, oh crap, I'm not going to be able to pronounce some names. So
you just want me to just pronounce everybody's name.
I destroy names, so.
Okay, we have Mike Lee for Another Year, Scott Silver, Paul Tamasi, and Eric Johnson for The Fighter, Christopher Nolan for Inception, Lisa Kolodenko and Stuart Blumberg for The Kids Are All Right, and David Snyder for The King's Speech.
I think it will be The King's Speech, but I kind of want to see The Fighter, because I thought that was a great script. The Kids Are All Right was really good as well. Inception, I mean, yeah. It's hard, but I kind of think this one will go to The King's Speech.
I have to agree with that. I mean, yeah, pretty much. I know people were still kind of up in the air over, you know, what exactly happened in Inception. But, you know, that's the beauty of it. But, I mean, even that, you know, King's Speech.
Sam, Babe.
Yeah, the King's Speech is going to win because it's going to win a lot of the big categories. I think it's a weird thing to nominate Mike Lee, and they've done it before, because his films aren't really written so much as they're improvised in workshops, and then, you know, those workshops are sort of written down, but it's not a screenplay process, really. I've got to say, I giggled at the Inception nomination, because I think Inception's... I mean, again, wasn't a fan of the film, but of all the things that you're going to say are outstanding about Inception, the script is not one of them. You know, it's basically Exposition City. And I thought that was really just a silly nomination for me. I don't feel very strongly about any of these. I might after I see The Fighter tomorrow, but I don't have one that I want to root for here. The three films that I've seen here, I thought were middling at best, and none of them really stuck out as a screenplay for me. So King's Speech is going to win, but I don't care that it does or that anything else does.
Babe?
I think The King's Speech will be the one I think will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, after the backlash of a certain director being snubbed, they might make it up for him by giving the man the original screenplay Oscar. And I think out of terms of, of course I'm talking about Christopher Nolan, but I think out of terms of the ones which is the most, because it is original screenplay, and if I had to pick, like, out of the five, which is the most original, I would say Inception. But I think it'll be The King's Speech, because I think it is a beautiful screenplay. Like, it's very well written. It's funny. It's touching, and it's it has really well defined characters. So I would like, but that would be my pick. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Inception would show up. But mm-hmm. at the moment, I'm just going with King's Speech.
All right. Our next category is Best Achievement in Directing. So Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, and David O. Russell for The Fighter. And for the record, Tom Hooper looks like James Cameron, but de-aged. Very bizarre and creepy. I'm thinking it will be David Fincher. I don't particularly have, like, a massive favourite, but I'm definitely very much behind David Fincher winning, so I'll definitely go with that. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have to say the same, although I'm kind of annoyed that Christopher Nolan wasn't nominated for obvious reasons. But, you know, I say Adventure, this is probably one of those categories that's stacked already, and so it doesn't make much sense to just, like, have, you know, Christopher Nolan in there, because it's always, he's up against, you know, obviously, Tom Hooper and, obviously, Adventure, so it's kind of, it's, and the Coen brothers. So, but, David Fincher, I always love you, so, you know, Social Network.
I'm with Pat, okay. You know, Fincher absolutely should win, but where I differ is he's not going to, and I'll tell you why, because it's not even a mystery anymore. We know pretty much who's going to win, because Tom Hooper won the DGA. And the DGA is the most reliable predictor of who's going to win the Best Director Oscar since, it's up in about 1948. And since then, the same person has won the Director Oscar all but six times. I don't think it's going to be different this time. Tom Hooper.
Okay.
which is ridiculous, by the way. Ridiculous. It's Fincher's Oscar, but Tom Hooper's name's going to be on it.
I'm just going to say Will Wynn should win David Fincher. Like, I have to say, even though Tom Hooper did win the DJA, it's not an entire guarantee. I remember a couple years ago, Ron Howard won Best Director for was Apollo 13. He wasn't even he didn't even get nominated at the Oscars. And the last person to win the DJA but didn't go on to win the Best Director Oscar was Rob Marshall, who directed Chicago. He won it, and he didn't go on to win the Best Director Oscar. So I think, and I think it's kind of a little, like, I know, like, even though I thought The King's Speech was a beautifully directed film, but I think Tom Hooper will get another chance again to be nominated and win down the road. So at the moment, I think David Fincher will win, and I kind of wish Christopher Nolan was nominated, but, you know, hopefully the Academy will make it up again at some point, but at the moment I'm just going to say David Fincher all the way.
All right. Where are we up to? best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Amy Adams, The Fighter. Helena Bonham Carter, The King's Speech. Melissa Leo, The Fighter. Hailee Steinfeld, True Grit. And Jackie Weaver, Animal Kingdom.
Woohoo!
I'm just going to say I want Hailee Steinfeld to win for True Grit, but I kind of have a feeling that it might be Melissa Leo that will win. And I also need to say Hailee Steinfeld is in True Grit more than any other person. Why the hell she wasn't nominated for Best Actress, I don't know, but she deserves
recognition. They ran her a supporting campaign because they knew she wouldn't get an actress nomination.
Yeah. But she should be there. But
she's too young to get a Best Actress nomination. They just don't do that.
No.
So, supporting.
But, yeah, she definitely deserves an award for her performance in True Grit. And that's my two cents. Well, yeah.
I'd have to agree, although I was kind of surprised that Mila Kunis didn't get a nomination, but, you know, that's the Academy. But, you know, again, I'd have to agree with you on True Grit.
Mm-hmm. Sam or
Bede?
I'll
take Kevin
first.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go. Melissa Leo's going to win, largely because she didn't for Winter's Bone. Frozen River, I would think. But I've only seen one of the performances, which is Helena Bonham Carter, and, you know, so I can't really say much more about it. But it's Melissa Leo.
Mm-hmm. B.
It's a bit hard. Because it really is down between Melissa Leo or Hailee Steinfeld. But I agree with Marcy. She should have been nominated for lead actress. And, like, there have been cases in the past where, like, somebody who, like, a young actor, they tried to campaign him as a supporting actor or actress, and that person ended up instead being nominated as, you know, a lead for a leading Oscar. And the last one I can think of was Keisha Castle Hughes, who was nominated for Best Actress for Whale Rider. Like, she was campaigned as a supporting, even though, despite the fact she was, like, the lead in her own bloody movie. But that sort of ended up being that way. And it's kind of strange that it sort of went in the opposite direction and Hailee Steinfeld was nominated in the supporting category. And I'd like to see her win, but I think it's kind of unfair to the other nominees who are actually true, real supporting performances. Because you're basically giving an award to a lead performance rather than a supporting performance. But Melissa Leo was terrific in The Fighter. She really disappeared into a character, and you wouldn't honestly think after watching, like, Frozen River, it's the same actress, because she really does disappear into that role. And like I've said numerous times, she has, like, the most epic hairdo of 2010.
Oh, no doubt about that.
But it's just really hard. I honestly think either... Well, at the moment, Because Melissa Leo isn't nominated for a BAFTA. She was snubbed, but Amy Adams ended up being nominated, and Halle Steinfeld did get nominated for a BAFTA, but as a leading actress. But at the moment, who I think will win, I will go with Halle Steinfeld, with, you know, Melissa Leo possibly making an upset. But who I honestly think should win is Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. That, for me, was, for me personally, the best supporting actress performance of 2010.
And that's because she's Australian.
Oh, well, not just because she's Australian. It's just the fact that she just gave an amazing performance.
Mm. And there's a particular scene in Animal Kingdom that completely sold it for me. But, yeah, it's nice to actually see Animal Kingdom get some kind of recognition.
And it's nice to see, like, an Australian actress who isn't, like, you know, somebody famous like Russell Crowe or Nicole Kidman or somebody just being nominated for an acting Oscar, like somebody that people have never even heard of before.
Unless you're Australian.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like Australian.
Yeah. We'll go to Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. So Christian Bale, The Fighter, John Hawkes, Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner, The Town, Mark Ruffalo, The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush, The King's Speech. And I have to say, where the fuck is Andrew Garfield?
Damn straight.
Because,
yeah,
hands down, along with Christian Bale, Andrew Garfield and Christian Bale gave the best performances in a supporting role in a movie for 2010. There is no question. And I cannot believe they have just fucking snubbed him, which is bullshit.
Well, I wonder actually if the problem with Andrew Garfield is choosing between them. Mm. You know, because do you go for Social Network or do you go for Never Let Me Go? He's fantastic in both of them.
He is, absolutely.
I imagine that he may have split the vote.
There is that, but I would have thought, you know, because Never Let Me Go hasn't really had much, you know, for these kind of awards, hasn't really seen anything.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Which it is a massive shame. But, you know, I thought he would have definitely been there for supporting, which would have been cool because then we could have said that Batman, Spider-Man and Hawkeye and the Incredible Hulk were all up for, you know, Academy Awards. Considering Mark Ruffalo is now the new Hulk.
If anyone else had been nominated, I mean, that seems like the token rising sun nod to me. I mean, he's fine in The Town, but come on, an Oscar nomination?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly, for me personally, I would have kicked off Mark Ruffalo. Like, he's good in The Kids Are All Right, but he was good in the movie, but I think because his performance was so well underplayed and so effortless that it just didn't really, like, stand out for me as much as, you know, the other four nominees. So I definitely would have kicked him off and put Andrew Garfield in there for The Social Network, if it was me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just pisses me off that he's not there. Out of those five, Christian Bale is going to win, and he's my pick because it is, his performance is just amazing, and I can't wait to see him look like Jesus at the Oscars. And I hope he does some really drunken behavior so I can have some awesome animated GIFs.
I have to agree, or else he would kick your fucking ass.
But don't you understand?
Yeah, it's going to be Christian Bale. I haven't seen that performance yet, so tomorrow my opinion might change, but right now my pick's John Hawkes, hands down.
I haven't seen Winter's Bone yet.
Terrific actor, really just, you know, reliable, oh, it's that guy kind of actor. And in Winter's Bone, he's just fantastic, really natural, sort of lived-in performance. Not a moment of artifice in it. I mean, that for me is one of the better supporting performances of the year. And, definitely my pick of the nominees.
I'm going to pretty much say both will win and should win Christian Bale, without a doubt. Like, his performance as Dickie Eklund in The Fighter is one of the best performances either leading or supporting of 2010. But I also do, like, if there was, like, a runner-up, I would definitely say Geoffrey Rush, because I actually really loved his performance in The King's Speech.
I really love Geoffrey Rush in The King's Speech, because his character was... His was the character that I had investment in with The King's Speech. He got my attention. And I thought he gave a great performance as Lionel. He was definitely the highlight of the movie for me. But as I said, Andrew Garfield was, you know, definitely... was one of the best, you know, actors for 2010, and it is not fair that he was snubbed.
I agree. But yeah. I'm really more disappointed that Dolph Lundgren wasn't nominated for The Expendables. I'm just really disappointed and really upset. I am, like, having...
Special Oscar for contribution to grunting on screen.
Yes. Yes, they should just make a special Oscar just for him.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, sorry, that needs to have a Swedish accent on it. Can
I can't do a Dolph Lundgren.
I've been waiting for you.
That sounds like Sylvester Stallone.
I've been waiting for you.
Sounds like the Swedish chef from Muppets. I've been waiting for you.
If that had been in The Expendables, I might have enjoyed it. Yeah, come on, who doesn't want to see Jet Li fight the Swedish chef?
I just want to
The Expendables with Muppets, and you've got, and the Jet Li's probably Beaker, isn't he?
Oh well, I probably get like a Beaker. No, actually, I could definitely see, like, in the sequel they should, and if Van Damme is, like, in the sequel, they should cast, like, Miss Piggy so they could have a fight with each other, and she could go, Actually, he's just to go a bit off topic. He's actually cameoing in the Muppets, so we might actually see a fight scene.
He's not. He had to pull out.
Get the bow out. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the topic on
Edmonton. I think we're up to best performance by an actress. Beep, you can have the honors.
Best actress in a leading role. Okay, we have Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine.
Okay. I have to say, Annette Bening, I don't think that she should be there. If anything, Julianne Moore had more screen time than Annette Bening, and she was better. I'd rather see her there. I don't think anybody, I haven't seen Rabbit Hole, I haven't seen Winter's Bone. Michelle Williams is really good in Blue Valentine, but I'm kind of positive it's going to go to Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's just kind of, it's her time, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. they do this with Best Actress, don't they? Where they just kind of decide that it's time... somebody had an Oscar. I mean, explain to me otherwise how Sandra Bullock had one last year.
Explain to me, you know, how that movie was any good.
Oh, it wasn't. I walked out of it.
Her performance was terrible.
Anyway.
A lot of it. But anyway, I've argued about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of time for Natalie Portman to have an Oscar, so she's going to have one. She's all right in Black Swan, I thought, but nothing special. But they didn't give her one for Leon. They didn't give her one for Garden State. They didn't give her one for Beautiful Girls. So, yeah, this will do. The winner for me is Jennifer Lawrence, if you're going to give it to the right performance. Well, actually, if you're going to give it to the right performance, the winner is Angeliki Papulia, who plays the... oldest daughter in Dogtooth, but if you're going to give it to the right performance of the nominees,
that was honestly one of the, I think, in just talking about Dogtooth, I think that performance was honestly one of the best that I'd seen for a long time. And it's funny because at first it kind of is weird, but then when you really understand what is going on in this film, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to adjust to the style and to recognize how good they all were. But, I mean, she's just phenomenal in it. But, you know, that those kinds of performances don't get nominated, so, you know, it is what it is.
Anyone else have comments?
Pat could go first.
No, basically, what's been said, as I am happy to do it. Yeah, Natalie Portman is kind of, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, okay.
I'm going to go with Natalie Portman because I honestly think it's one of the performances of her career, like, if not the best performance, even though there's, like, so many great performances she has given in the past, but it's definitely one up there as one of the best. But I also really love Nicole Kidman's performance in Rabbit Hole. Like, that performance, she was absolutely amazing, and she just was... Everything in that performance was so good that, in a perfect world, I'd love to see her win. I love Jennifer Lawrence's performance as well, and I can definitely see her getting nominated again at some point. Not right away, but she'll definitely will again at some point. I haven't seen Blue Valentine, so I can't really say too much about that. I did love Annette Bening's performance in The Kids Are All Right, because there's one scene in particular that in that film that really sold me on her performance, but I won't give what it is because it's kind of a spoiler. But to be honest, though, I think the performance that she should have been nominated for this film, for this category, I think should have been Mother and Child, because she was absolutely amazing in that film, and she definitely should have been nominated for that one. But she's, for me personally, she was great in The Kids Are All Right. But for me, who I think will win and should win will definitely be is Natalie Portman for Black Swan.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take us into the next category?
Alrighty. For the best performance by an actor in a leading role, this year's nominees, of course, are Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Jeff Bridges for True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, and James Franco for 127 Hours.
I'm going to say I want James Franco to win. But I know that Colin Firth is going to get it, and that's about it. I don't think that's his best performance. I do really think that James Franco gave, one of the best performances for 2010. I absolutely loved 127 Hours. Jeff Bridges is great in True Grit, and Jesse Eisenberg is great in The Social Network, but James Franco, I think he killed it for me with 127 Hours. So that's where my heart lies, and that's all I have to say about that.
I have to say, you know, between Colin Firth and Jeff Bridges, it's a toss-up, and for some reason, this past little while, like every time I see the name Colin Firth, I think it's Colin Farrell for some reason. it's a toss-up for me between Jeff Bridges and Colin Firth for their respective roles. I don't know. That's a tough one for me.
I can pretty much endorse everything that Marcy said. I thought Colin Firth was kind of fine in The King's Speech, but James Franco is my winner by a country mile in this category. But Colin Firth is going to win, and he's really going to win because I think it's almost as egregious a makeup Oscar as Pacino's in a lot of ways, because he was so good in A Single Man. It's phenomenal performance, leagues and leagues better than The King's Speech. And he should have won for that last year. Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart. But he didn't, and they've realized that he should have, so they're going to give him one a year late. what can you do?
I kind of have to, in a way, disagree. I think for who I think will win and should win would be Colin Firth, because I actually was surprisingly very deeply affected by his performance in the film. And I honestly think for this performance, and as well as the A Single Man, word he has given, for me personally, the last two best actor performances of their previous years. And even if he did win for A Single Man last year, I honestly think he would win again this year for The King's Speech, because, like I said, it's a performance that I just, like, was really affected by, and I actually was really compelled by his performance and how his character was struggled with his speech impediment and how he was able to overcome that by the end of the film. And it just hooked me all the way through. But it definitely is, like, you know, James Franco is definitely a very close runner-up, because he was absolutely amazing in 127 hours. Like, his performance was pretty much, like I said, amazing. So, I mean, it's him for pretty much about 90% of the movie, and he was amazing in every single
stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yes,
literally.
It is.
But
I have to admit, I kind of wish Jeff Bridges wasn't nominated for True Grit, because, like, it really took me a while to really warm up to his performance. And I think it's really because, like I said on a previous podcast, because I only just seen recently before I saw this one, I saw the original one with John Wayne. And not this, and I've kind of had enjoyed John Wayne's performance much more than I did Jeff Bridges, because I think it's, to be honest, I think because he just mumbled a lot in True Grit, and I could not figure out what the fuck he was saying half the time. So it sort of took me, but I kind of warmed up to it eventually. But I think he shouldn't, to be honest, shouldn't have been nominated. And I think Leonardo DiCaprio for Shutter Island should have been nominated instead. But, you know, what can you do?
Okay.
And but old Jesse Eisenberg, amazing as well.
Jesse Eisenberg was like, I'm talking really, really fast. It was like, what?
Like, he was awesome at doing
that. He completely lost me a lot of the time. But he was great. No arguments about Jesse Eisenberg being there, but yeah, I'm still feeling bitter about my precious Andrew Garfield.
But I haven't seen Beautiful yet, but from what I hear, like, bottom, from those who have seen Beautiful, it's like the best of the five. So I'll have to check that movie out once it becomes available and see for myself if it is actually the best actor performance of the year.
Is it something like the first time an actor's been nominated for a performance it's done entirely in Spanish or something?
Is that the correct? I'm not sure if it's in Spanish, but I know it's not the first time that an actor has been nominated or even won an Oscar doing a film in entirely different language other than English.
Was that movie, the Italian one?
Roberto Benigni. Oh.
Yes, that one. Sure.
See, and that's kind of the moment that I stopped being excited by the Oscar. It used to be kind of exciting when I was a kid, and then I saw that twat get up on stage and sort of just like, it was one of those things that really killed the whole experience for me.
I'm just sitting here, like, giggling.
I have to admit, if I won an Oscar, I'd be, like, jumping around on seats and, like, dancing on top of people's heads. But,
yeah,
that's just
although,
me.
To be fair, he did get on the seats for Best Foreign Language Film.
But he was like, I won two, man!
But, yeah, I think Javier Bardem, I think he mostly speaks Spanish in the film. From what I understand. I think it's the first time or something. That's what I heard. But yeah, shall we go on to the last category?
Of course.
Best motion picture of the year. And the nominees are Troll 2. No, I'm kidding.
Of course. It should be, though.
Yes. Hold on. Wait for it.
Of course.
No, but seriously, 127 hours. What? Oh, yes. Hello. Yes. Sam?
I'm sorry, you can cut that out. I'm still here.
Oh. You said, could I just... And then you stopped.
No. I said timing. I was making a reference to that joke being so long in the... in arriving.
Anyway. I'm editing all this stuff out of the podcast. Okay. Let's go. Best motion picture of the year. 127 hours. Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are Alright, The King's Speech, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, Winter's Bone. I'm going to say Social Network.
I'm just disappointed that The Tooth Fairy wasn't nominated. I'm going to be up all night having nightmares.
Where's
about
Twilight
it.
Eclipse? Ugh. Where's Clash of the Titans? Where's A Nightmare on Elm Street? Ugh.
Yes.
Ow.
Anyways.
The Social Network.
I think it's a better spread than last year. Last year, the 10 Best Picture nominees I just found fucking depressing. This year, I'd still be annoyed if those were the 10 best movies that I'd seen last year. It would have been a really, really terrible year, and it wasn't. But I can only really get excited about a couple of them. Happily, the two best Hollywood films of the year are nominated. But neither of them, I don't think, is going to win. I think The King's Speech is going to win. When it really should be Toy Story 3. But I think everything seems to be moving in The King's Speech's favour at the moment. Yeah, if anything else wins, it'll probably be The Social Network. And a week ago, I might have bet on The Social Network, but I just get a feeling that it's going to be The King's Speech, which depresses me, really, because it's probably the most average film I can remember seeing lately. I thought it was perfectly fine, but it played to me like Sunday afternoon telly, and only reasonable Sunday afternoon telly at that. So that's kind of a depressing best picture for me.
Anyone else have any comments?
Pat?
Mr. Torfey?
Pat?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
King's Speech.
Say what?
King's Speech.
Oh, okay. What, do you want it to win or you think it's going to win? I can barely understand you.
Yeah. I would have to say...
Now I can hear you.
Because my mic is screwing up. I don't know why, but...
I don't know. It sounds like you're in another room.
Hmm.
Say that again.
I would have to say... like Sam said, this year, it's going to be a tough choice. But I don't know, it's just King's Speech is kind of like, it just seems like, for me, again, it's probably going to be the one to win. I don't know why. it just seems like that. Because to me, it's just, Inception, I'd like to see it win, but I don't think that it's going to win. Toy Story 3, for the reasons we discussed before about the best animated feature and everything like that, I don't think it's going to win. I don't know. Just something about King's Speech that just seems to, you know, looks to be the one.
And Bede.
It's kind of hard. Like, at the moment, it seems like The King's Speech seems like the front runner. And it might end up winning, but I can understand why this movie... Like, even though I really liked the movie, and even though it didn't make my top 10 But I do do love the movie quite a lot, and because it is like a good old fashioned sort of uplifting, sort of overcoming your obstacles type movie. And those movie like an underdog kind of story, and those type of films always get to me. So it gets props for that. Even though I think like in amongst these 10 nominees, I can figure 5 films, of course, that were better than that. Of course, being, you know, Toy Story 3, The Fighter, Black Swan, The Social Network, and Inception. But at the moment, it's kind of hard. So I will, just to play it safe, I will say The King's Speech, but I wouldn't back down The Social Network just yet. Because like I said, anything could happen in the next 3-4 weeks. Like, things could change. Even though, at the moment, like I said before, it is in favour of King's Speech at the moment. But at the moment, I think it's those two. But who I think should win, of course, Inception. But, you know, that's just me. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for our Let's Discuss the Oscars Before They've Been On show, with predictions, discussions, and blah, blah, blah. I'm doing this in such a professional manner. But to be fair,
it's a lovely succinct title that you've given the show, though.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes, but, you know, it is, like, in the early AM, so my brain isn't functioning as well as it normally does. I'd like to thank myself, Bede, for co-hosting, and Pat and Sam for guesting on the show. So thank you all very much.
Anytime.
You've given me a nice editing job, which the listeners will not know anything about because the podcast will sound brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So with that, I say catch you later. And, of course, this.
Of course!
See you, everyone.
See you.
Bye.